Hey, so in Genesis chapter 41, we've been in this series now on Joseph's life. I like to do things through the summer that just take you through different sections of the scriptures and let you see those things and what they teach us. And so it's actually pretty neat to be able to do something like that, because you get to see not only just one snapshot, but you kind of get to see a movie as a whole lot of snapshots and see see how it fits. And so again, Joseph has been the thought. There's a big chunk of Joseph's life in the scriptures. And so we started, and I've divided it in sections. And the only reason I do this kind of thing is my hope is that you'll understand it better, you'll see it better, and it'll make more sense to you. But the first section we covered, we entitled it, How God Can Use Your Past for His Purposes. This whole series is about God's purposes. And you'll see it even today, especially today. But basically not Joseph's past, but like his father and the messes and mistakes that he made. I want you to know that it's pretty amazing when you look at that sometimes and you think how in the world could God use that? But he did. A lot of Jacob's mess ups wound up being something in Joseph's life that he had to overcome, but God could use it for good. And so we talked about how God can use your past for his purposes. And then the second section, which we finished last week, okay, was just basically, what do you do when your life falls apart? What do you do when your life falls apart? Because Joseph's life fell apart. And I want you to know, he just didn't have a bad day or a bad week or a bad month or even a bad year. He had a bad decade and plus 13 years. It just kept falling apart. Things just kept unraveling. And it looked like it was just out of control. But I want you to hear this. This is interesting because it wasn't out of control. It just seemed as if it was out of control. But God had points and purposes and reasons for all of it. And there begs the question, guys. There begs the question. If you want to be the person that God can really use, the greatest question you need to answer is, can you trust him when things don't make sense? That's the crux of everything. Can you trust him when it just doesn't make sense? And not only does it make sense, but it doesn't make sense for a long time. Because that's what happened to Joseph. 13 years. He goes from being sold into slavery and then being accused as a slave of rape and then thrown into prison and just left there. And it looks like he's going to be in prison for the rest of his life. And even that, I mean, I'm not saying it didn't shake him, and I'm not saying it didn't trouble him, and I'm not saying he didn't have down days. But he never took his faith and his trust off of who God was. So it's amazing. But it all changes today. Okay? Today we're going to start another section. And this section is called, how do you handle success? How do you handle success? You go from what do you do when your life falls apart to now, how do you handle success? Because things are going to start succeeding for him. Okay, things are going to start really ramping up. Today's title is God's Purpose is Revealed. I am talking that in 24 hours, this whole thing turns around. Notice that God can change your circumstances anytime he wants to. Then why did God take so long to get Joseph out of his mess? I don't know how all that works, and I don't know how God works. But the question is, can you trust him? And will you trust him? And so we have this picture here. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to do today, because this is the fun part when it all begins to, take shape and you're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Oh, that makes sense. And Joseph had to be thinking the same thing. But remember, up till chapter 41, Joseph is still in prison. Up till chapter 41, Joseph didn't know anything. He's just putting in time, being the best prisoner you can be, right? It's not always easy. So let's take a look at it, all right? If you want to chart down some things with me. All right, number one is what I'm going to call God's providence. What does God's providence mean? Well, Providence, obviously, the thought of Providence, Rhode Island. What is Providence? God's Providence. Providence is God at work in our lives for His purposes. Providence is, you know, you hear people say sometimes it's not chance, it's Providence. That is, God's at work. You can see His handiwork in the middle of it. So underneath this God's Providence, okay, I want you to see that all of these circumstances that Joseph is in, God is at work through. And while they didn't make any sense to Joseph, they made sense to who the Lord was because He was part of them. And if you're His, that's the key phrase to this. If you're His, then there's purpose. It may not be as grandiose as Joseph's purpose, but there is purpose in your life, even if it doesn't look like it now. And God can use things that you never thought He could use. So underneath God's providence, okay, I want you to see some ways God was at work. Number one, I'm just going to call this, or A, if you will, God's way. Let's take a look at it. In chapter 41, we're going to read some verses. Let's take a look at it. After two whole years, that is 2 whole years after what? Well, when the cupbearer, I'm going to call him the butler, all right? When the butler was in prison and Joseph helped him out with his dream and other things, remember he looked at the butler and said, "Hey, man, if you can remember me before Pharaoh and get me out of here, because I've done nothing wrong to be here." And, you know, butler says, okay, you know, and butler forgets. So we're talking 2 years after that. Most believe that Joseph, again, 13 years in slavery and in prison. Most people believe that he was probably in slavery around 5 to 6 years and that he was in prison around 6 to 7, even possibly 8 years. So this is, if you want to see the time passing by, but it says 2 whole years after this. It says here that Pharaoh dreamed that he was standing by the Nile. And behold, there came up out of the Nile 7 cows, attractive. I don't know how you can say a cow is attractive. If you've been around cows, I mean, you have to have a real eye for them, but I don't know that you ever call one attractive. So it's probably not a great translation here. Basically, it says attractive and plump, but what it basically means is healthy. That is prime stock, livestock, if you will, that talks about, you know, would be valuable, expensive, that type of things. All right. So every time you see it, it's going to be weird. All right. But, and it says, and they fed in the reed grass. So this is Pharaoh's dream. And remember, I've told you this before, but the Egyptians' dreams were a big deal to them. And obviously then God is going to use the mode of dreams here with Pharaoh. Let's continue to read. And behold, 7 other cows, ugly and thin. The word for thin there, a better word is gaunt. Okay, gaunt. But either way is fine. Come up out of the Nile after them, and they stood by the other cows on the bank of the Nile. And the ugly, thin cows ate up the 7 attractive, plump cows. All right. And Pharaoh awoke. Okay. He goes back to sleep and dreams a second time. And behold, 7 ears of grain, plump and good, were growing on one stalk. And behold, after them sprouted 7 ears, thin, blighted from the east wind. And the thin ears swallowed up the 7 plump, full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. So in the morning, his spirit was troubled. And he sent and he called for all the magicians of Egypt and all of its wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was none of them that could interpret them for Pharaoh. Okay? All right, I want you to know that God's way, the way in which God works, is always unique. In fact, in C.S. Lewis's book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Lewis, the children's book, it says that God never works the same way twice. I agree. If you're out looking for a burning bush somewhere, that's how God worked with Moses. He's not going to probably do that with you, all right? God is unique, as unique as you are unique in the way He works in your life. But I find this uniqueness of how He deals here with Pharaoh, and I also find it interesting that God is going to give Pharaoh a problem that only Joseph can solve. Okay? Now, Pharaoh is the most powerful man in the world because he is the king of the most powerful country in the world at that time. That didn't mean that there weren't other powerful countries, but Egypt was the most powerful. It was the most cultured. It was the most educated for its time. I mean, these are ancient times we're talking about here. And so when you're looking at this, he has a problem, and you're going to see that God's way is unique, but it's also something that God is doing, that he's putting a problem in Pharaoh's path that only Joseph is the answer to. All right. So again, it's God's way. Let's take a look, number two, at God's wisdom. Let's keep reading some of this. Then the chief cupbearer. Okay, that's the guy that was in prison and that obviously Joseph did a favor for, helped him out. He got out of prison and then forgot Joseph. Well, now it dawns on him. Now it dawns on him. Continue to read. He said to Pharaoh, I remember my offenses today when Pharaoh was angry with his servants and he put me and the chief baker in custody in the house of the captain of the guard. We dreamed on the same night, he and I, each having a dream with its own interpretation. A young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. Okay? And we were told him, he interpreted our dreams to us. He gave an interpretation to each according to his dream. And as he interpreted to us, so it came about. And I was restored to my office, but the baker was hanged. And then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they quickly brought him out of the pit. I think that's interesting, out of the pit. That shares with you a little bit of the situation that Joseph was in. Okay? He was in a pit. Okay, or perhaps even the prison was more underground. Again, we just don't know. Let's continue to read. And when he had shaved himself, changed his clothes, he came in before Pharaoh. Okay, so God's way turns into God's wisdom. Okay, I want you to think about the perfect timing. Up till now, it looked like, I just want you to think about this. Up till now, Joseph's life looked like it was out of control. Okay. But I ask you the question, was it out of control?
The answer is no.
Okay, so I ask you, was it out of control? Okay, why? Because God knew what was going on. It just seemed like out of control to him. It felt out of control. Question. All right. You have to be careful. And how? You handle your feelings. And yet so many people live by them. And we wonder why we get into these messes that we get into. Because emotions are, you know, it's like a dog that's happy to see when you get home. They don't know what to do with themselves. They just spin around in circles. Right? And so we have to be careful how something feels. Because remember this, it felt out of control, but it was not out of control. God had a time, God had a purpose, God had a reason for all of it. It was just hard to see at the time, but it was all going to come clear. This is incredible. In 24 hours, this is all going to come clear to Joseph. 13 years of it seeming like out of control, a big mess. Because God's way turns to God's wisdom. And this particular wisdom, obviously, it looked like it was a mess, but God... You know, God had it, right? God had it under control. Joseph was sold to the Midianites and sold to Potiphar, put in prison, and then the butler in prison, and butler's dream, and then Pharaoh's dream, and then butler tells Pharaoh about Joseph, and then here he is. Here he is. So God's way leads to God's wisdom. Number three leads to God's will. Now we're going to read a good chunk of this scripture, but I'm going to kind of skip down through it. So guys, kind of hang with me here. But take a look now at God's will. Let's read in verse 14. And we're going to kind of reread one verse. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they quickly brought him out of the pit. And when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came in before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I've had a dream, and there's no one that can interpret it. And I've heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Now, I think this is interesting. Don't miss this piece. Joseph says to Pharaoh, okay, It's not in me. Okay, now that's probably something you don't want to say to the most powerful man in the world. Right? Can't do it. Can't do it. In other words, it was real important to Joseph. This is classic to me. This is classic, a classic picture of what it means to be a believer in Jesus Christ. He looks at him and he says, he wants Pharaoh to know. He didn't care how long he's been in prison, but he wants Pharaoh to know that it's not him that is going to be able to do it. It's God that does this. This is a God-sized problem that only God can fix. Okay? This is something that only he can do. Therefore, my trust is in him. Therefore, Joseph knew what was happening here, or at least a little bit. I don't think he understood just how big it was going to be. But he knew something was happening here, and he knew that he wasn't going to take the credit for something that God had given him the ability to do. Guys, that's amazing. There are very few people, there are very few believers today that do that. Most take full credit for the talents that they have and what they're able to do. And rarely does anybody say, well, I just want you to understand that what we have, what we do, whatever, I want you to understand that that's only God can do those things. Well, that's the picture that Joseph, I just love this verse. This is one of the classic, one of the great verses in the scriptures. All right, it's not in me. He said, but God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. In other words, if this is going to happen, it's going to be because God's done it. Okay, I just want you to know that. Okay? So then Pharaoh said to Joseph, and he tells him about all these, you know, all these dreams, you know, or this dream that he had. And again, I just want you to see it. I just want you to see it and understand. So take a look down now, if you will, in verse 17. Pharaoh, behold, in my dream, I was standing on the banks of the Nile, and then you see the attractive cows again come out of the Nile and eat. And then you have in verse 19, you have the ugly, thin cows. And then in verse 20, the thin, ugly cows ate the first seven. But it tells us a little bit more in verse 21. He said, but when they had eaten them, no one could have known that they'd eaten them. In other words, when these thin, ugly cows ate these attractive, plump ones, they were still thin and gaunt, okay, in his dream, right? So that is, there's something a little bit added there. All right, continue to read. All right, and he also saw, so verse 27, 7 years stalk, okay, and then verse 23, 7 years withered. It's just the same thing again. And I told the magicians there was no one who could tell it to me. Look at verse 25, and now we get to this part. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, the seven 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years, and the dreams are one. The seven lean and ugly cows that came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty ears blighted by the east wind are also 7 years of famine. Okay, so we have, again, God's will. First of all, it was God's will to bring Joseph, okay, to Pharaoh. Think about all that happened here. Think about that God had the cupbearer in prison. Think about that Joseph was able to expose to this cupbearer what he could do or what God did through him. And then now he's back serving Pharaoh. Pharaoh has a similar problem. You see, only God can put those things together. Right? God's will is an amazing thing. It's something that he has to do. And to be in God's will, it's his responsibility. So much about being in God's will for us as believers, if you are a believer today, so much about that is about just being willing to be where God wants you to be and trusting him. And then so much he's got to do. Because how in the world could Joseph plan this out for himself? He couldn't have. You know, when God works like this, it's unmistakably him. And so you have all these things line up, right? You have all these things line up. Take a look at verse 28. And it was told to, it is as I told Pharaoh, God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. There will be 7 years of great plenty throughout the land of Egypt. But then after that, there will arise 7 years of famine, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt. The famine will consume the land, and the plenty will be unknown in the land for reason of the famine that will follow. For it will be very severe. And the doubling of Pharaoh's dream means that God, this thing is fixed by God, and that God will shortly bring it out. So he basically tells him everything. You had two dreams said the same thing. That means that God's going to work on this fast. And so he begins to share with Pharaoh what's happening. And isn't it interesting that God brought Joseph before Pharaoh, and then basically through him, he showed Egypt's future through Joseph. And not only did he show him what was going to happen, he even gave the solution to Joseph. Continue to read. Look at what was going to happen. Verse 33, "Now therefore let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. And let Pharaoh proceed to appoint overseers over the land and take one-fifth of the produce of the land during the 7 plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh for food in the cities, and let them keep it. That food shall be in reserve for the land against the 7 years of famine, and are to occur in the land of Egypt, so that the land may not perish through the famine." Basically, that is saying, Joseph is saying, "Hey, Pharaoh, let me tell you what's happening. God's letting you see what's about to happen. 7 years of plenty. But let me ask you a question. What happens? What happens normally during times of prosperity and plenty? Waste. You got it. Waste. Most people just, you just throw food away, right? Yeah, just throw it away. Yeah, just get some new. There's so much of it, it doesn't matter. But what happened, and that's what most people do. Very few people can handle times of plenty. So what's going to happen is, Joseph is telling Pharaoh, "Hey, listen, let me tell you what's going to happen. You need to take one-fifth of everything, and there's going to be so much, nobody's even going to miss it. And you need to store every bit of it." Because most people, they don't save. In fact, most people today, think about it. How in the world, what do people do when times of prosperity happen? They overspend. So that when the recession or whatever hits, you got people lining up to go bankrupt. Because during the time of plenty, they didn't put anything aside. They didn't store anything. You know, again, it's just all cool pictures here, things that we can learn about. So he looks at him, and not only does he tell, so God gives Pharaoh a problem that he can't solve. God gives Joseph the answer to the problem, but he also gives him a solution through Joseph. Man, give me somebody like that. I don't mind somebody coming and telling me a problem. But I tell you what, for every 1,000 people that come and tell me a problem, there's only one that'll say, "Hey, I think I got a solution." Oh, bring him on, or her. Bring them on. Bring them on. Tell me, hey, everybody else is ready to tell me that the problem they have, but and that I need to go find a way to fix it. But I tell you what, give me the guy or the girl that comes and says, "Hey, listen, I think I got a solution." Hey, when I hear those words, I'm listening. And so I'm here to tell you this. Pharaoh's listening. He is listening to Joseph. Because it all is lining up. And this isn't something he's trying to convince Pharaoh of. Pharaoh already knows something's up. So he's ready to do what he says. I don't know, this is interesting. Look at verse 37. "This proposal pleased Pharaoh and all his servants." In other words, they knew. They knew it was the truth. They were, because they saw it all. And in reality, what's it going to hurt? You know, what's the downside of storing up a whole lot of grain? Because during a time of plenty, you're going to have a lot of extra. Okay? Continue to read. "And Pharaoh said to his servants, 'Can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God?'" I mean, even Pharaoh looked at Joseph and saw that he was something. Look what he did. "Then Pharaoh said, 'Joseph, since God has shown you all this, there is none so discerning as wise as you. So you shall be over my house. All my people shall order themselves as you command. Only as regards to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. And then Pharaoh took his signet ring, put it on his hand, clothed him in garments of fine linen, put a gold chain around his neck, and gave him a new chariot to ride in. And they called out, bow the knee, as he went by. There's a great picture between Joseph and Jesus here. We just don't have the time to look at it. We're going to look at it in a few weeks. But again, it's an unbelievable. And, you know, every knee bow, every tongue confess. It's pretty amazing what happened. What happened to Joseph here? Okay? I want you to see this, that all these things begin to take shape. When you talk about God's will, guys, I want you to understand this, is that so much of God's will is something He has to do. You know, for some of you guys and girls in here that are organized, right? Sometimes God can really mess you up. Because tell me how you can organize in your 5-year plan what happened to Joseph. Okay, now my first plan is that my brothers are going to sell me into slavery. And then my second part is that once I'm in slavery, I'm going to work real hard. And then if I can get the boss's wife to accuse me of rape, and then I can get thrown into prison. And then if while I'm in prison, I'll get to meet a cupbearer there who just happens to be there because, you know, he spilled wine on the king. I have no idea. And I help him out, and he goes, and I stand before Pharaoh, and he's going to have this dream. So I've got my 10-year plan. This is where it's, okay, I'm here to tell you, you can have all the plans in the world, but I'm here to tell you, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'll tell you in a minute why. Nothing wrong with planning. But I'm here to tell you, God's will usually takes you places you never dreamed you'd be. Okay? And usually, it's unexpected, and it comes out of left field. That's just from experience in me. There's a wonderful verse. I want you to hear it. A man plans his way, but God guides his steps. That doesn't mean you shouldn't plan. You should plan. But look at me. All of you planners, your plan is open to whatever He wants you to do. In other words, God, it's not about my plan, it's about yours. Nothing wrong with planning. Scripture says, man plans his way, but God guides his steps. In other words, are you going to follow your plan or are you going to follow Him? Because I'm here to tell you, there's no way that Joseph could have planned his life. Even though he was an organized planning type guy. You'll find out in just a minute. I don't know. There's so much to this about learning. So much then about God's will is not about you doing what you're supposed to do. It's really about you being who you're supposed to be, because He's going to do most of it. Because if He doesn't, how can you find it? If it's a route like Joseph had to take, how in the world could you find it? Me doing what I'm doing today is hysterical to think about. This was not in any plan I had. I didn't even like being in front of people. My business major, because I have a business major, I went to speech class, and the guy gave me a complimentary C. You know what a complimentary C is? It means I'm not going to give you a failing grade because I don't want you back in here. And so I just didn't like it. But therefore, God takes you in directions, and He leads you down paths that you would have never chosen for yourself. But if you're following Him, you're glad you did. But sometimes you begin to question it, because if you're 13 years and it looks crazy, but now in 24 hours, it's kind of like, oh, this makes sense. And you're talking about rising. You're talking about rising to a position. He was promoted to the second most powerful man in the world. He only answered to Pharaoh. How in the world, with such wealth and such power, especially the wealth is just going to increase. You're going to see it over the next few weeks. How in the world can you handle such authority and absolute power? There's only one way you can handle it, and that's to go through the school that Joseph had to go through to get there. Most people can't handle it. I mean, just think about it. You. If you were elevated to the second most powerful person in the world, you think it would change you? Most people say, oh, it wouldn't change me a bit. And you're lying. Only the people that have been prepared and been prepared and been through tough preparations can handle something like that. How on earth do you handle some combat situations? I'm here to tell you, sometimes you can't handle it anyway, but you definitely can't handle it unless you've been really trained, unless you know what you're doing. Well, you got this picture of God's training, God's boot camp for Joseph, and now he's in charge. You know, my brain, my mom said, if you put my brain in a bird, it'd fly backwards. And so, yeah, my mom was an encourager. And so, but my brain begins to think, as I look through the scriptures here, my brain begins to think, and this is not in the Bible, this is Jeff's musings, right? Thinkings. And so I'm sitting there thinking, you know, this all happened like quickly, within 24 hours. And you know who's got to be there. He's captain of the guard. Potiphar. And he's sitting in there, you know, because he's captain of the guard. And he's seeing all this happen. And Joseph gets promoted. And he goes home. And he says, hey, honey. Hey, you remember Joseph? The guy that you said raped you, right? And you had him thrown in prison. Well, honey, I hope you were telling the truth because he's my boss now. Right? Things always come around. You can treat people like you want to treat them. You can be like you want to be, but I'm here to tell you that the person you give the finger to at the stoplight is going to wind up coming around knowing who you are. Are you understanding me? It's amazing how things make the block and come back around and they look at you and say, I thought you were a believer and yet you waved at me the other day. Right? Yeah. It's amazing. But you know, the one thing that's great about Joseph, I want you to listen to this. The one thing that's great about Joseph is we never find any place where he takes retribution or revenge. And why don't you think he did that? He'd been to the school. I tell you what, you don't get that way on your own. Okay? You squeeze the screws on Potiphar if you get into Joseph's position after what he's done to you. Especially the wife. But we don't ever hear that. And especially when Joseph's brothers stand in front of him. I'm not going to go there. I'm here to tell you, you have to have God's Spirit living in you to be able to have that type of restraint. And maturity and the ability to walk in the Spirit. I don't know, it's just remarkable to me. His story is remarkable to me. When I take a look at all of it in here, but again, guys, purpose revealed. Do you truly want what he wants? But the second question is, are you able to go through the schools he wants you to go through to learn the things you need to do what he wants you to do? All right? Because if you keep failing the class, you just keep re-enrolling. And obviously it delays the time you can be used. I don't know, I just find it remarkable when you look at through these scriptures and you see what is happening. So he takes off this signet ring, his own signet ring, Pharaoh's signet ring. I'm here to tell you, it's the most powerful credit card in the world, the signet ring. Joseph could do anything he wanted to do with that ring. He could go anywhere he wanted to go. He was going to start building grain bins, so he needed the authority to buy all kinds of stuff. And it was going to be something that Joseph himself was going to do. But I'm here to tell you, he had the robe. He had the new fine limousine that took him everywhere he wanted to go. The clothes. How in the world do you take a prisoner and elevate him to something like that? I don't know. Pretty remarkable. It's pretty remarkable when you think about it. Number two is Joseph's responsibility. This won't take long. But I want you to see a couple of things. Under Joseph's responsibility. The great responsibility was just to trust God. But number one was he was true and patient to God's purpose. We never find anywhere where Joseph became bitter or resentful. Even though It had been easy for him to go there. Right? Number two, he was humble. That's something that God works into you. Verse 16, he had an opportunity in front of Pharaoh to kind of show off, but he was real clear, and I've already shared that with you. He wanted Pharaoh to know it's not about who or what he could do. God's the one that could do those things, and if God chose to use him, that's great. So, you know, it's interesting. I've found, and I've told you this many times, in all the years that I've been studying the Scriptures, it seems to be the one virtue that God cares about the most that he wants in your life. I mean, over and over in the Scripture, it says that God hates the proud. He hates pride and arrogance. And yet in our culture, we lift up people who are proud and arrogant. Interesting, isn't it? It's always amazing how the culture seems to do opposite of who God would be and what he'd want. Right? So I want you to see there that obviously he was a humble guy. Number three, he was led by the Spirit. In verse 38, it's incredible to me. Even a pagan king saw it. Even a pagan king said, oh, there's something about you that's different than anybody ever come in contact with. Being led by the Spirit, right? Being led by the Spirit. All right, number four. He was willing to go through God's training. Faithful in a little will also mean faithful in much. You know, I told you a few weeks ago about somebody who starts at the bottom and learns to sweep floors and empty garbage cans. If they do it faithfully, then you need to promote them to another level. Eventually, I tell you, faithfulness in little will translate. When I give you a lot of responsibility, you'll be faithful there. So therefore, Joseph was faithful all those years through what God had him doing, even though some of it looked menial. When he finally got to the position he did, God could trust him in such a position as he took him to, right? I don't know. It's amazing to me. When you take a look at how could God trust a 30-year-old with such position and power? 30 years old. I'm here to tell you, I would not have done well when I was 30. I'm not sure I'd do well now. But when I was 30, to be given that much? I mean, you take a look at the news and some of these athletes and others who get such positions of popularity and wealth, and their life literally falls apart. And it's amazing to me of how many people want to be like them. You want your life to fall apart like these athletes and other people? That, I mean, you just can't handle it. And unless you have a lot of character, a lot of discipline, most can't handle those things, right? Those things. And yet, he was going to get them all in a fell swoop. It's pretty amazing. But who Joseph was in slavery and who Joseph was in prison was the same person he was going to be in the palace. I tell you what, that's an interesting thing. Interesting thing. Job chapter 23. This is just a verse you can write down, but you can put it to the side. But Job, if you know the story of Job, I don't have time to explain it to you, but his life fell apart, if you know anything about it. And Job was just one of those guys, kind of like Joseph. He struggled as to why. But then kind of toward the end, he came up with this verse. You may want to write it down and keep it with you because it's one of those verses to remember when you're going through a tough time. But he says this, okay? He says, behold, okay, I go forward and he's not there. God, where are you? If you're his, now guys, if you're his. He says, I go forward, God, you're not there. He says, I go backward and I don't perceive you. I just don't see you there either, you know? Okay, when I go to the left hand, when he is working, I do not behold him. Now I go to the right hand, I don't see him. Basically, that's just a fancy way of saying, God, where are you through all of this? And then look at verse 10. But he knows the way that I take. Even though I don't see him, he sees me. Look at this. And when he has tried me, that means when he's put me through the test, I shall come out as gold. If you don't know the understanding here, the figure here is when you take gold ore and you crush it and you put it over heat and you turn the heat real high and the gold is separated from all of the stuff that's not valuable. Therefore, those who go through the tough times are the ones that God can use because they've been purified through the tough times. So you have this same picture that attributes itself to Joseph. I don't know, this is just a great Job passage. As I close, there's some things to learn I'd like to throw at you. These are just things you can take with you. Okay? And we've already talked about most of them, but I just want you to write them down and see them for yourself again. Number one, so much about God's will for our lives is His responsibility. I think that's interesting. Most important thing you could do, if you're His and you want to be His and you want to follow His way, His wisdom, and His will, most of it has to do with you being who you're supposed to be. That is, you having a relationship with Him that learns to trust Him through everything. And guys, that's a lot easier said than done. Number two, the training that Joseph endured prepared him to be able to handle such an elevated position. I don't know where God's taking you. His will may not be the same as Joseph's. In fact, there are very few that are. May not be as grandiose. But can I accept that what He wants for me is what He wants for me, and that's where I want to be? Interesting. Purpose. God's purpose revealed. His purpose. Okay? So number three, then, our main responsibility is just to learn to trust Him. Okay? Number four is what I'm going to call it. Is what I'm going to call heaven's most quoted statement. When I'll get to heaven one day, I believe this will be the most quoted statement. This is me. This has nothing to do with the scriptures. But I think it's going to be this. Oh. Because what happened to Joseph when all this stuff started happening? You know, and in 24 hours, he's elevated this. He's going, oh, got it, God. That's why that happened. Oh, that makes sense why I would have, oh, you know. And it all came in, and when Joseph's brothers appeared before him, which is going to be in a few weeks away, there's going to be more of that. He's going to go, oh, now, Lord, this really puts the final touch on everything of why you did what you did. And God, I'm not only understanding what you did in my life, but I'm glad you did it. Right? I'm glad for the slavery in the prison because of what you've done and how you've used me. You know, guys, there'll be a lot of things. We just happened to, in Joseph's life, we just happened to see it. God just gives us a glimpse of what it looks like. There'll be a lot of things in your life. If you're His, if your desire is to follow Him, there'll be a lot of things you never understand. One day when you get to heaven and it's revealed to you, God's purpose is revealed. That's why I think it to be heaven's most quoted statement. You're going to say, oh, that makes sense. Can you trust Him that He knows what He's doing? Can you trust Him? He knows what He's doing, which is number five and final. God's will many times does not make sense, but it is always best. Many times it doesn't not make sense, but it is always best. You know, there are times in doing what I do, we've got to make decisions, we have to do things, and with trying to look at everything you try to look at and looking from a bigger picture, you make a decision, sometimes upsets a lot of people who don't see the bigger picture. So I get a little bit of that personally. But I'm here to tell you this. God is perfect. I am not. Can you trust Him that He knows what He's doing, even when it doesn't look like He knows what He's doing? It's a big question to answer, but I believe it to mean a whole lot in your usability in His hands. It's pretty exciting when you take a look at this.